And Singing Dragon has been a delight to work with. They really are very welcoming. And looks like you've got your Yoga Sutra book out and your Kosha
Model. It's on its way.
On its way, good.
Yeah.
And the Kosha Models, of course, with the handbooks and the cards. I must say, I do quite a bit of private work and also a lot of workshops, and what you put together has been very, very useful for me. So they've been in my world of practice as an independent leadership coach, somatic coach for many, many years. The seed has grown into these non-yogic ways as well. I mean, they're not non-yogic, it's just that it's not some yoga community.
It's not a bunch of people sweating in a big room doing advanced yoga postures.
You know, the world has changed, right? Yeah. World has changed. So yeah, so people are coming. What's the story there? Are you getting people, or is it still locked down?
We're everything here in Brazil is in kind of semi-lockdown.
Yeah.
And our retreat center here was closed for 4 months. Now it opened last month. And so what we're finding is actually a lot of people are coming for weekends, you know, people coming by car. And our teacher training, surprisingly, if it weren't for us having to limit the numbers because less people in the rooms, it would actually be as full as ever. And so there'll be some changes in that. For example, the asana classes, we have two large spaces. Usually everyone's in there. Normally we have 42 people for that. And we're just going to take 32 this year. But even for 32, we're going to have twice as many spaces. So we're going to have to offer two yoga classes every time instead of one. But it's doable. And the other things are moving along. So I would say we're kind of like, I would say we're limping full speed ahead.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? The multiplier effect, right? So you have to do more to cover less. Isn't that interesting?
You have to invest more to make it work at this time. I just had my own coronavirus test. I haven't had any symptoms at all. And what I found in that process is that why it's so difficult, that for people who don't have symptoms, most of these tests don't tell you anything. Could be like this, could be like that. So if you're sick, you've got a pretty good chance of. So I finally got a long test, the one where you have to wait 4 or 5 days. And that of course came out negative, but you know, it's we are very careful, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And a big thing that's happening for us is that, so we have a film studio here and a whole film crew, because we're going to be producing a lot of books that also have apps.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And we've got one like the Yoga Toolbox, but it'll be Pranayama, the Pranayama Toolbox.
Fantastic.
And so, but just to see in a certain way that, you know, you'd like to say, well, everyone should just go get tested.
Yeah.
But then in just doing it myself, you know, not having any symptoms at all, I found out that it's not that easy. And your test might not mean anything. And then if you take the longer test like I do, where you've got to wait 4 or 5 days, then you've got to isolate during that time. Otherwise, what if it comes out positive in the end? So it's, yeah. Not, it's not an easy situation, but the vaccines are looking good.
Things are happening. I've got friends and I've got a brother who's very active in the policy world around the development of all this stuff. And I come out of a medical family. My dad was a big immunologist and major researcher in plant-based medicine. So I have learned over the years the impact of this deeper level of social change and how our personal bodies really are the mirrors of what the earth body is trying to tell us. And the Presencing Institute work that I'm involved in with the Social Presencing Theater, which is a movement practice, we really do talk very consciously about igniting and enabling and invoking and initiating the attention of the three bodies, the personal body, the earth body, and then this social body. And so the field of our inquiry, particularly in this work that I'm doing, is to provide more of a personal understanding through the stories of these narratives that'll be in the book about how we each have understood this pull of the future.
Right.
And so you're already demonstrating that in what you've done down there. You were an early product developer and provider of, you know, the wisdom teachings and convenient and accessible formats. And what a wonderful gift.
I think that puts it in a nutshell, wisdom teachings in a convenient, accessible format. What I see is that the social dimension that you're speaking of, all of the yoga therapy, all of us want to see this social change. And for me, that was seeing, if you look at the different models for yoga therapy, so one would be a kind of techniques-based model. You do this for this condition, and for this condition, it's something else, and then you do that for that condition. And so that's that model, it has some validity, and it's important, especially in musculoskeletal issues. And then you've got this other model, which is the research model, which is anything that shows research results is yoga therapy. And in this process, what I would say is that the social change aspect, the change that happens in groups, the change that happens in perspectives and people's perspectives on themselves and health, I would have to say that from my experience, that part has been quite neglected in yoga therapy.
So thus this conversation, there's a real interest now that, you know, the early innovators, you're one of them, are aging out. And so there's this legacy question. Mm-hmm. Michael and Laurie at Phoenix Rising are in the midst of that conversation. Amy went through that conversation. I was, you know, part of that. And it's this, the theoretical construct here is complexity theory, right? That's where we move this world from the emerging future into current reality and the relationship of that emerging future. Corona has certainly brought it into higher relief and a little bit more urgency, and the ambiguity around that chaotic response that the world is still engaged in.
Right.
Has to be part of the practice and process of finding new ways, practices and processes, your app and new offers through your media offers, so that even if we aren't able to gather in groups, there's a sense of this new group formation. And so that's the future.
And I think there's a sense of how is it that yoga heals? And so... Mm-hmm. What, for example, in that material that I sent you, the essence of it is that yoga therapy heals through education, through a group educational process, and tools and techniques support that. And of course, research should support that. I think the confusion has come in that instead of... developing what would be transformational models and then testing them, I think it's kind of coming backwards, where what's happened is we say, whatever research proves, that's the correct model. And so in our case, we've been doing things like this Healthy Heart Program more than 25 years. And our research was kind of cut short by the COVID, but now we're at a point where we can research. So I would say develop the whole methodology. How are people healed by yoga? What is it that heals them? What are the different facets that heal them? So you have this facet of technique, which is important. The asanas do something. But then what we've done is we've taken them and put them in an educational context so that each of those 12 weeks has a theme. What do people need to learn about themselves and others in order to be healed? So that's the first thing. What do people, what kind of changes in vision, in perception, in ways of looking at themselves and others in the world, what kind of changes need to happen there? So those 12 weeks, you could look at them as 12 kinds of changes that people need to make in order to be healed. And a big part of that is how they relate to others, how they relate to society, how they relate in relationship. And so it takes it completely out of that domain of you do this posture and it's going to do something for you.
Right, right.
But I think that if we're looking at the future, I would say that my methodology is still to be recognized.
Oh, yeah?
I would say.
Still to be recognized.
I would say that that idea of you take someone and you do something to them and they get better, I would say that that still has a long way to go to evolve into something larger.
So let's play with that a little bit, Joseph, because if there's a distinct quality to the way in which yoga landed and located in your body, right, through your practice.
Right.
And the causes and conditions, let's call them, of your life and how you came to be in this current environment, which is what, 25 years, you said, something like that? More than.
Well, yeah, but about as a yoga teacher, 35 years, something like that.
But this, the educational frame and your view, just to use a Buddhist term here.
Right.
If what we're opening into from the yoga therapy and yoga world is the increased awareness of what happens in the educational group context, right? That would be the social body from the Presencing Institute's perspective.
Right.
And that as we learn together the importance of the ground of being that already exists in the social body, but hasn't been activated yet, right? Just to use that term. Mm-hmm. And so if we can land this conversation in the particular ways in which your understanding about that communitarian quality of what happens in the personal body in context in relationship with the social body, then we have a map making potential, right? You've already you've been doing it for years, but I guess what's the readiness factor, right, in our yoga community to actually realize that this is an inside out learning process. We do have these social engagement. I've started a conversation around how Porges's theory might be engaged in our understanding in social body development. Mm-hmm. With my Presencing colleagues and bringing in Marlissa, folks like that. Shirley was just saying, oh my God, I never thought of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you're already one of the exemplars through demonstrated practice, the application aspect, right? Of moving some thoughts into, a product, let's say, just to, because that's what you do, because you're far away. People can't drive by and say, hey, Joseph, I want to come over. you need to fly it out. Then let's walk around the meadow, walk around the mountain a little bit here, Joseph, so that, I guess, let me just land on a question here for you. So a lot of what we do and try to understand better is the spark of inspiration, right, as the beginning process. So thinking about the readers here, right, these are the young ones who are coming after, maybe not so young, anybody learning. see if you can make contact, like roll back in time, perhaps, if you'd like, mm-hmm. to that time when you knew that your path actually was going to move in this direction, right? That was different than others. Mm-hmm. And that as an innovator, please mention how you built from that. What helped you? Who did you bring in? What were those core competencies that you developed to make all this roll out?
Right. Well, I was a yoga teacher and a body worker, and I became just totally engrossed, inspired by the whole mind-body health movement. Like that PBS TV show so many years ago, yoga, healing in the mind. I think Bill Moyers.
Bill Moyers, yeah.
Can't remember how many years ago that was, but many. And I basically wanted to learn everything I could, study everything I could about mind-body health, about mind-body healing. And of course, I believed that yoga could heal everyone of everything. And I just went at it full speed ahead. I wanted to learn everything there was about yoga and healing. I took Michael Lee's course, which is very useful. And of course, it was, especially at that time, what they were developing was different from yoga therapy in the classical sense. You know, you do this pose for this health condition, and they weren't working at that level at that time. And then there really were no other yoga therapy programs, except for ones in India, followers of Desika Char, someone that I admire very much. And yet I did a master's degree in teaching, and part of that was a thesis on student-centered learning. Mm-hmm. And so everything that I had learned said that learning needed to be centered in the student. And then you take that and compare that against the Indian traditions. Mm-hmm. And there was just such a gulf there for me. And because everything there, even among the most open teachers, it's even I think they would acknowledge the best, like Dr. Ananda, to me, he's the best. The whole society, the way of learning, it's very hierarchical. Mm-hmm. And so in a certain way, I had to create my own methodology. It wasn't like I could choose between, there weren't any yoga therapy programs to choose from. So in that sense, you could say that apart from Michael's, mine was the first, mm-hmm. it, you know, founded by an American. Mm-hmm. And in mine, the first in the sense of being yoga therapy in the traditional sense, what you're going to do for certain health conditions. Mm-hmm. And so then, but I needed support. So my main supports at that point were Richard Miller, I'm sure you know, and also Eleanor Criswell, the founder of Somatics.
Oh, okay, yes.
And of course, Richard and Larry, the founders of the IAYT, right. And then Eleanor on the board, I think she was president there for a long time. And so they were the two that I chose really as my mentors at that point. And it was a multi-year process that they were involved both as my mentor and as teachers in the program. And so those were the two individuals that really, in a certain way, together with my intuition, created the Integrative Yoga Therapy Program. And a couple of things that stand out for me was, I remember Richard was a longtime student of Desika Char, and he had gone to do a research project there about what were the different protocols for these different health conditions. Mm-hmm. And then he found out that for all the different conditions, the practices were almost all the same. Mm. And so then that brings in this question, well, then what is the yoga therapy?
Right.
How are people getting healed? Yeah. And of course, the answer from the Desikachar perspective would be it's in the relationship with the yoga therapist. But my focus was a little bit more on groups, on the social group, on the learning process. How do people learn and how does that learning help them to be healed? And so with Richard's help, since there weren't any yoga therapy programs, we basically started our own. And I remember asking Richard, I said, well, Richard, I don't have any credentials to do anything like this. And he said, the yogi creates his own credentials. I'm not sure if it was the wisest thing, but in retrospect, we did it anyway. And today there's this is the largest yoga and retreat center in South America and growing all the time. So we obviously did something right. But right from the start, my question was, how are these people going to be, how does the healing process happen? And one of the things I did very early was I participated for a while as a volunteer at Dean Ornish. And together with Nishchala was the head of that program, and I was just volunteer, but I did get to watch a lot. And so I saw what happened in that Healthy Heart program was that it was actually the education that healed people and the group experience and the way that it's almost, you could say, a 100th monkey effect or the 1,000th monkey or whatever you want to call it. So that people started to develop new perspectives, and then these perspectives came together in a group, and that's what led to change. And then these techniques were actually just supporting that process. And
so good. So let me just pause for a sec. Yeah. The process that you unearthed that has created the basis of your own understanding. Mm-hmm. And then the simple multiplier effect offering the advancement of new skills and techniques, but that understanding that the process is what actually anchors the work, and that the way in which the process lands in individual bodies, right, mm-hmm. is what I'm hearing you point to. And so I just want to bring in the work of David Bohm, the dialogic process that mm-hmm. I've spent years and years in group practice with leaders and organizations, that the meaning, dialogos, the meaning travels through. That's the wave function in quantum, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so if it's true that this unpacking, this unearthing of the relational field through the work that you've done may not yet have been fully seen, sensed, or felt by the rest.
Not yet.
That's why I'm putting it in that language. So that the embodied potential, right, Joseph, mm-hmm. of the what you have stayed with in your mm-hmm. work, that becomes very interesting from a leadership development perspective, right? The work mm-hmm. that I do in the world from this presencing mm-hmm. view. Mm-hmm. So can we dive in there a little bit? You've told us the what you did and where you went, and that you had your intuition that was also guiding you.
Yeah.
Maybe for these readers, you can talk about those confluences of those contrasting ways in which you began to understand the yogic journey, or whatever we want to name it, the embodiment of these practices, so that you could continue to produce something new for the world.
Well, that wave of knowledge that for us was dictated by this five kosha process. And then over time, we could create the parallels between the five koshas and the seven chakras and the eight limbs of yoga. And so really seeing yoga as one thing. And then, so by taking that five kosha process and organizing the weeks of this 12-week program along those five koshas, and what we found is that, so how do we take people who have absolutely no knowledge of yoga, and how do we guide them in a safe way from me to we? So how are we going to bring them to that cosmic perspective that we can call healing? And what I believe is that as we move from me to we, there are all of these different things. There are what the techniques do. There's the stress reduction. There's the psychoneuroimmunology. But then I think there's something higher. I think that that greater we naturally draws people toward healing. I think that that greater we is calling for all of us to be healed. I feel that there's something so real there. And if you bring people close to it like a magnet, they'll start to be drawn into it. And so right away from the early years, I just dove into what would be the places that where people would be, yoga would be least accessible to them. Senior centers. I started at California Pacific Medical Center, I think in 94. And then in a certain way, experimenting. How do we make this process accessible to these people? And I remember my first group of heart patients and just seeing what a tough nut a lot of these people are to crack and how resistant they are to change. And I had, of course, all of these kind of Kripalu concepts, and I was a Kripalu yoga teacher, still am in a certain way. And so I remember one of the patients saying to me, I asked him to draw his heart. And so he drew the valves and all of the, you know, the arteries and everything like that. And I said, well, what do you feel about this heart? He looks and he goes, well, I think it's a good little heart.
What a great start.
So then, so that was the beginning of the learning. And then when we came to Brazil, there was really no yoga therapy to speak of in Brazil. I think we're still really, there are very few yoga therapy schools. Starting a program here in our local community, which has been running more than 15 years now. And so these people are fishermen, they're farmers. And so when you look at society and you talk about change in society, well, then you say, how are you going to change these people? How are you going to change the mass of the population who have these chronic illnesses? And what we found over this 15 years is that it really can be done. And the way is through group support, through the sharing, through having a set of educational themes and having a sense of what perspectives, what new vision do you want them to have in each class? And at the end of that class, not that they've done yoga postures, but that they've gained this new vision. And at the end of the 12 weeks, they've gained a 12-part vision of a holistic self. And then how do I take the yoga poses and make them support that vision? So every week the yoga poses progress, and every week there's an affirmation. Every week there's a new mudra. And so how do I take those mudras and those affirmations and allow that to support that vision? And then how do I take the relaxation and make that part of that same vision? And then how do I take a meditation? And so that everything in that class supports that vision. So at the end, I'm absolutely sure that those people really, as much as possible, have integrated and absorbed that vision. So we've got the integration of 12 facets of a vision of wholeness. And each one is supported by a mudra. It's supported by an affirmation. And we take that mudra and that affirmation all the way through the whole class. For example, our first class, I see the dawn of a new vision of health. And so, and then talking about how do they see the vision of health. And then we bring that idea all the way from the affirmation, they create an affirmation. Even their breathing process, their pranayama, has to support that affirmation. Their relaxation in the end is where they actually visualize this sun rising, and it's a sun of health, and it fills each part of their body. And then their meditation in the end is chanting their affirmation in a loud voice, in a medium voice, in a low voice, and then just listening to that affirmation internally. So the whole class, this whole idea of a new dawn of health, it starts with an education. It goes to an exploration where they question themselves, what do they want to get out of the course? They talk to a partner, and then we bring that into the affirmation, into the mudra, into the asanas, into the relaxation, into the meditation. And then at the very end of the class, each one shares one word of what their experience has been. So they'll say things like wholeness, integration. So if you can see fishermen saying words like, maybe they won't have that the first week, but they'll just say relaxed. And then by the fifth week, using words like whole, complete. And what it shows to me that is if you have the right methodology, mm-hmm. that this the whole of the population can be brought into these programs.
So I just want to wrap that with some space and breath, because as you speak, I'm witnessing our own frameworks developed through the Presencing Institute for this awareness-based social change practice, mm-hmm. and this linkage between the personal body health exploration grounded in the land that called you. So I'm really still curious about why where you are now and how that helps you create this practice and process, this series. But I also want to make sure that as we speak, this engagement of the co-initiatory aspect of moving toward the future is also really awake and aware. Yeah, mm-hmm. Look at that. Whoa, yeah. So that, well,
what we're doing now is we're taking the 12 weeks of the Healthy Heart Program and making them into a video program, a 12-week video program. So the classes will be shorter. They'll be 30, 40 minutes instead of an hour and a half. But what we would like to see ultimately, our goal is to see the Healthy Heart Program in every, Brazil is mostly public health. Yeah. So we would like to make that available to public health throughout Brazil, either in the video format or when teachers are available. So that's our goal, and the goal is a drastic and dramatic social change.
You mentioned that to me, the public health implementation idea and process, and so I'm just wanting to make sure that we keep all these angles alive, this five-pointed star. of the prototyping model, right? Because first, now I'm hearing how you landed in your educational program and the history and process there. But now there's this me to we at this social scale, right? That you want to offer. And these implementation practices from the social body perspective, Joseph, is a really interesting conversation to begin to unearth. And it's not the multiplier of the individual gains, right, in your practice. And I'm struggling with this myself because I'm implementing quite a few new things, trying to understand from this deeper listening perspective, what does the social body need, numero uno, and how ready are they for the offer that I have or that we have, you know, whatever group I'm trying to represent. So let's play a little bit with how to sense in to the public health needs and how you might activate a co-sensing practice. This is what we do in presencing work, so that the root of the need is a shared root. And it's from that collaborative ground, right, that the new things begin to branch out. So tell me how you've started with that.
Well, you know, we'd been doing these healthy heart-like programs in the United States, you know, already for almost a decade. So when we moved to Brazil, it's just like, this is what we do. We do these social yoga programs.
Yeah.
And we're contacting people in our local community. They really had no concept at all. But they were willing to try.
Okay.
And we had this institute willing to finance it. And so what they found and what we found is that all of these social barriers, all of these cultural barriers, myself being a Brazilian American or American Brazilian, having both nationalities, and that that all of these barriers can be overcome through what? Overcome through excellent, intelligent teaching and learning methodology. And that involves social awareness.
Yep.
It involves spiritual awareness. It involves communication skills. And these are things that even today, I would say communication skills, probably in yoga therapy courses, one of the things that's least covered, and probably the person that's best in that would be Michael and Laurie in terms of teaching communication skills.
Yeah.
But so what we found is that we could bridge all of these, and that these healthcare workers, the administrators, the nurses and the doctors, they want to feel at home. They want their clients to feel at home. Mm-hmm. They want people to feel cared for. They want people to feel loved. They want people to feel included. They want to be sure that people are not being taken out of their depth. They're not being thrown into some weird spiritual water. And that is actually quite a lot to put together in a public health setting. And through 3 decades of really concerted study and work, it's not something that it's something that took tremendous time and effort and refinement to see, how do we create that safety for the healthcare professionals? How do we create inclusion for all of these people who have no idea what yoga is? And at the same time, how can we do infinitely more than just having them do some stretching movements? Infinitely more than doing stretching movements. Because the healing model is absolutely necessary. It's not optional. It's not like, well, some people can do this and some people can do that. That in all countries, including Brazil, the model that we have doesn't meet the need of the future. It doesn't meet the need of a society in which individuals will need to have some kind of autonomy, because the family, the churches, the society as a whole, it doesn't have the structure, it doesn't have the means, it doesn't have the money to attend to the scope of the problem. Aging population, chronic illness, it doesn't have the means. And so someone's going to have to provide those means. And so what I see is that that people like ourselves eventually, and we're already starting to see that in public health here in Brazil, are already starting to see that this is the only way things can work. This is the only way it can go if people start to see the healing process as something more than taking pills.
Right.
So, and what we found is that that in the same way that in our integrative yoga therapy training programs, people feel that connection to healing, that IYT is unlike anything else. What is it that makes it different? There's this sense of that someone in a very clear and simple way has shown me who I am and what I'm here for. In a way that I can really understand. In a way that I can understand, someone has been able to show me that in a way that all of these other training programs weren't able to do. Because of having this educational base together with the spiritual base, together with the technological base, putting those together, and you can say a psychological base in terms of understanding human communication. So we were able to put all of those together, and then to see that in this public health setting, that the administrators, the doctors, they come at the, we have several different groups here, and at the end of the year, they all come together in a kind of big group setting here, over 100 people. And to see that these people who never had any kind of self-expression work, they never had any kind of movement work, many of them illiterate, never had any kind of base, only had the most basic of education, how you could bring all of those people together after a short process, even 3 or 4 months, and have them all experience this healing as oneness and oneness as healing in one big room. And so that to me is what the yoga therapy is all about. And the technique supported it, the yoga techniques. But I think that for me, the asana always has to be together with the information, together with the mudras, together with the relaxation, together with the breathing, and together with the meditation, and all on a single theme. So whatever theme we're taking, whatever, if it's the theme of finding gratitude for life, so that everything in that class focuses on that theme and enforces it from the beginning to the end. And so that's what we do. Yeah. And it's working really well. And yeah. So I would say that in a certain way, we're at a point now where we understand this process well enough that we're ready to take it to the whole of Brazil.
Yeah. How lovely to hear you move through your whole set of understandings in this implementation practice and process. I mean, truly. So I know we're going to come to close soon. I'm curious about how you've engaged the curanderas and the indigenous and the folks from the land, if at all, to blend with your desire to serve the whole of the nation and the diversity right. in the whole of the nation?
We, what we do is because we have the group sharing, we have that group sharing portion, people bring all of these local, their local culture ideas in.
Yeah.
So they have a chance to be teachers as well as students. So after we talk about a theme, let's say, let's take the theme of the chakras. That sounds pretty far out. But then when you express it as just feeling energy in your body, then all of these people, they have different ways of having a sense that and expressing it. So we did one of our programs in something called a Quilombola. A Quilombola is a community of runaway slaves, basically. People who escaped from slavery went out into very rural areas and founded their own farming and fishing communities. So if we were only teaching, then what they have to share wouldn't have a way of coming in. But since we give that education piece, and then they're allowed to share with each other, and then everyone shares in a group their own personal experiences and approaches to healing, also become part of that whole healing process. And they're sharing those with the others in the group. So these people could share something about Afro-Brazilian traditions of healing, which right. have to do with the African gods, the African deities. So by having that sharing portion, they're allowed to bring that in, and they feel that they become co-creators of this whole process. So that rather than me just teaching them, they share their life experiences, they share their healing experiences, they share their cultural experiences, so that the yoga therapist isn't on a pedestal teaching them about yoga. Everyone is sharing their own kind of yoga.
Right, got it. So just a few more minutes now before we have agreed to close. And I just want to bring up the distinction of teaching versus education. I really am honored to experience the difference, this place of being able to learn what is it actually that wants to be unearthed in a group from the land, from the body, these qualities of social connection through these experiences that are theme-based. That's the way I'm hearing a bit of your methodology. And this being led out, right? The source of the word education. I just looked it up again from my little etymology dictionary here. To be led out, this unearthing for the rebirthing. That's the way in which I'm understanding our time now. Yeah. And so if you were to converge, to come back into source of your inspirational qualities as a deep listener mm-hmm. to the need for the healing on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go very broad so that we can engage all your guides and angels here. Yeah. And to really offer to the readers, what is it, Joseph, that as you offer this wisdom from the many pathways that you are working on and from and with, what has sustained you or what continues to sustain you? What is that source relationship?
Well, I've been in this 15-year quest to understand the Yoga Sutras. And so I see everyone on this journey toward enlightenment. And so if we look at the different words for enlightenment, I think each of them sheds light. So if we look at Patanjali Kaivalya, so the first thing is that I need to be I need to go out beyond this personality. So I need to be autonomous within my true being so that all of this conditioning, which keeps me from healing, could be released. And then if we look at the idea of Vedanta, then moksha, literally meaning freedom. So, but within that freedom in Vedanta, I see that the me is we. So the way of expressing quite different from yoga. So first I start by having that autonomy, that releasing that conditioning. So that would be the understanding at the level of the Yoga Sutras. And then that allows me beyond that conditioning to see that the me is the we. So all of these different words. And then even in Buddhism, just the idea of nirvana, what is it that I'm going to extinguish? I'm going to extinguish the me that has this false belief that it's not a we. So each of these definitions, and then what I feel is that all of us studying yoga at some level are gaining the qualities inherent in enlightenment. And so for me, the first one would be absolute knowing. Not a philosophical knowing or a theoretical knowing, but an absolute lived experience of who I am, why I'm here, what my mission is. And it's so clear, as if I'm looking at my hand and asking myself, is that my hand?
Yep.
So it's that knowing. And then the other part of that would be limitlessness, that I'm not limited to this mind, I'm not limited to this body. The next quality would be wholeness, that there's nothing that I need to do, there's nothing that I need to prove, that everything that I need, I already possess completely and absolutely. And so those are the things that come to mind offhand. And so I try to incorporate those, live those a little bit more each day, release anything that stands in my way, and to seeing that everyone in every culture is looking for that certainty, that knowing of who they are, that knowing of why we're here, what their mission is, what they're supposed to do. And then to understand that once we know ourselves, it is absolute healing. And that absolute healing is available to everyone.
Hallelujah, brother. I was watching you further explore the many facets, and your physiology changed. Look, your color has changed. You came into this kind of smiley place of, you know, that connection. So the healing model that you blend with, let me just say that, has real structure and value. And these stepwise techniques that enable anybody, anywhere, no matter who, no matter where, educated, not educated, trained, not trained, is exactly the same educational model that we're working from at the Presencing Institute. So the leadership qualities, but more important, the fruits of the harvest, Joseph, you know, of the work that you've done, what has arisen, but then also what you have cultivated on the path. That's actually the intention of putting these narratives into a framework so that different people can follow different narratives according to this larger framework that I'm wanting to get into the yoga world. Yeah. So that autonomy that you speak to is also engaged in some of these deeper practices that come from that exploration that you've been very committed to. And if IAYT carries this educational standardization, you know, whatever they're trying to do now, and I'm trying to be of service to them, right? Amy Wheeler's going to write the foreword here. I've got everybody and more in this book. I don't know, I guess I'm sitting here in awe that you're one of the finals and that this conversation, you know, has really anchored quite a bit of my journey. So I'm finding myself, you know, really grateful to the way in which you model the actual prototyping model that I'm coming with. So, and that's what my intention is. So it's like, yeah.
Great.
So yeah, I'll go and do my five-pointed star mudra series that I've developed. So anything else for the readers? Thinking again ahead about maybe even biggest challenge, and maybe we don't want to go there, but I haven't heard you speak specifically about a hurdle. It's been pretty forward moving, and I'm sure there have been some. Maybe it's about the sutra book. The lesson that you've learned
to what I've had to do over the 15 years of working with the sutras every day is it asks me to actually embody those teachings, and so that has been a struggle. That hasn't been easy. And it asks to let go of everything that would keep us from recognizing the infinite nature of our true being. And it's a work in progress, but I would say it's going well. And hope to have the sutra book out in the next year. But my transformation follows Patanjali, follows those chapters. I'm gonna send the first pod out to Matt and some other people in the next few weeks. I'll send it to you as well, and any comments you can make, I'll be happy to receive.
Well, as you unearth the pieces of the seeds of this tradition and embody them from a leadership development perspective, I mean, I can just imagine that they're woven into something that you have on a mala bead, and that the ways in which your particular understanding intersects so beautifully with what's emerging on the planet today. So that people can feel into each particular theme and perspective as they've been so well examined and then made clear, right? This accessibility piece. And from an educational perspective, Joseph, struggling with that myself, the discussion here about your process, I think will be extremely illuminating to others who've spent years of what to do next. Mm-hmm. And so it's groundwork. And so that's why I keep going back to the land, and that you've worked with people of the land, I think has a major impact on your offer to the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just take a moment to close the space and... Mm-hmm. Sense into I keep seeing all these leaves falling around you know, the fruit of your branching out. I don't know why, you know, something nice.
yeah.
So is there anything else as we close? Just let me know.
No, very nice to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for your time and energy and your service to the world. And yeah, send me the pod. I'm happy to respond.
Let me know anything else you need. And until then.
Well, what will happen, this is 2021. This is, you know, a year plus. And likely there will be an appendix in which you'll be invited to offer the language that you want in your particular bio and all that contact info, that kind of thing. And, you know, some links, that kind of stuff. Great. Okay.
Good to talk to you. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That's my thing. If it's not fun, I'm not doing it. That's my mantra. Okay. Great. Be well.
Bye for now. Thank you.
Bye for now. Take care.